The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you here today, and thank you for being a part of our worship service, I have a strange question. I told Kelsey just a minute ago. I don't like certain services where I feel like I have to talk about stuff. And for instance, Mother's Day is next week, and you have to talk about mothers on Mother's Day. And you have to talk about 4th of July and 4th of July. Christmas, you better talk about the birth of Jesus at some point in time, or else kind of you miss the boat there. And so those times get kind of difficult for me. But this week, anybody ever just have one of those weeks? You know what? Does that make sense? So this week was a busy week. I was telling somebody earlier, we had somebody having a surgery or a hospital visit every day this week, and so I was down at the hospital a lot, and that's always an encouraging place to go. Anytime you go to the hospital, it's just like, you know, it's not fun. And then we got some word that some church members had some family members pass away. And then Kelsey and I had a dear friend of ours that's supported us in ministry, man, for years, pass away on Thursday or Wednesday morning. And I'll never forget, Thursday night was a rough night at our house. I lost my temper again. I know that's the story of everything, but I'll never forget after I put the kids to bed, just the heaviness of this week set in. And man, it just captured you in heaviness. I don't know if you've ever had that moment where everything just overwhelms you so much, and the evil that's in the world. And it really started last Saturday night. I was in bed and I was doing some work for Sunday morning, and Kelsey was in the kitchen doing something. I don't know, baking bread or coloring signs, or I don't know what she was doing. But she came in and she said, "Hey, did you hear they tried to assassinate the president again?" And again, I'm not a political person. You won't ever hear me talk politics. But the evil that because somebody has a different opinion than us, they should die. That evil, I just can't wrap my head around. I can't conceive that kind of evil. But here's the crazy thing. That's the world that we live in. And there's this moment, y'all, and I didn't realize this until I kind of started looking at this. Did y'all realize that Jesus actually, twice in the Bible, it says that Jesus cries? The first time, we all know it's the shortest verse in all the Bible. It's at the death of Lazarus, and it says Jesus wept. But there's another spot in Luke. As Jesus comes in and he has a triumphal entry, he comes into the city of Jerusalem and he sees the people crying Hosanna and everything like that. And he knows everything that's going to go on that week. And scripture simply says this: he looked at the city and he wept. It's this moment where everything that goes on, all the evil, all the just everything that it just weighs down so heavy on him that he just weeps. And I don't know if you've ever had that time. Maybe some of you are going through that time right now. I mean, just the overwhelming weight of the world on your shoulders is just more than you can even conceive of. And you look and you see that all the different awful, terrible things that are happening, and you're dealing with death, and you're dealing with suffering, and you're dealing with loss, and you're dealing with shame, and you're dealing with guilt, and you're dealing with sin, and all this just overwhelms you. And you don't know what to do. Today, I want to look at some words from Jesus. It's in John chapter 14. Jesus says this: "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now, maybe you've never experienced that today. Maybe the weight of the world has never fallen down on you, and life is footloose, fancy free. You are living on cloud nine. Then here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the notes from this. I want you to take the scriptures from this. I want you to take the words from today, and I want you to file them away somewhere in your mind, in your heart, in your drawer, in your desk drawer, in your cabinet, in your Bible. Because at some point in time, if I believe scripture, and I do, the weight of the world is going to become too much for all of us. At some point in time in your life, everything is going to pile up, everything is going to overwhelm you, and you're going to sit back and you're going to say, man, my heart is troubled. Thursday night after I put the kids to bed, Kelsey thought I was going crazy because I was just walking around the house and I was... I was praying over each of their doors. We're safe. We've got cameras. I wasn't scared that night to put my kids to bed. I was scared to let them go to the world the next day. I was overwhelmed by the weight that I knew I was sending my kids into the world. And honestly, Kelsey asked me that night, we were sitting in bed, and again, after she found out I wasn't crazy and I told her what I was doing, she's still on the fence about it. She said, you want to just run away to Mexico? I don't know why. Mexico has always been our runaway spot. If we could just run away someplace and go to Mexico and live the like beach life, footloose and fancy free. And there's actually a place in Scripture where the psalmist David, in Psalm 55, he's writing and he talks about all this different stuff that's happening and how people who are evil are succeeding and how people who are good aren't getting what they deserve and his friends are turning on him and the weight of the world just overwhelms him. And he says, if I could just get wings like a dove and fly away. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Forrest Gump, Jenny's prayer. Dear Lord, make me a bird so I can fly far, far, far away. It's the best Jenny accent I got for you. Sorry. But I don't know if you've ever experienced that moment, but at some point in time in your life, you're going to. The weight of the world is going to trouble you. It's going to overwhelm you. And your desire is going to be this. I just want to fly away. This morning, I want to share with you some truths as to why you and I can't let our hearts get troubled. Why we can't just, God can't just make us a bird so we can fly far, far away. Why we have to be who we have to be in the moment we're in. Because no one else can be you. God has a mission field, a place that he's called you, that he's placed you, that he needs you to be you because nobody else can. A couple reasons are this. The first one is God doesn't want us to be discouraged. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says this. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in Scripture and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. When things get overwhelming, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to feel like we're the only person that this stuff happens to, isn't it? Y'all ever just had a good old pity party? Woe is me. Everyone hates me. No one likes me. Guess I'll go eat worms. No, not the last part, just me, okay. All right, but it's easy, isn't it, when life gets overwhelming, when everything gets discouraging, just to kind of get down on ourselves and feel like we're the only person who's ever done this? Isn't it crazy that what Scripture tells us is God gives you story after story after story of people who have faced similar circumstances, who have gone through difficulty after difficulty, sometimes way more extreme than you and I could ever imagine. And God gives us those stories as a source of encouragement. Look, there are people in this Bible who have gone through way more than you and I could ever begin to imagine. And they've made it. Story after story after story of Scripture that has given to you and I for the purpose to encourage us. So that those moments when life becomes overwhelming, when it gets too much, and we feel like we just can't go on, go look through Scripture. Look, you want to know a good spot to start? Start in Job. Good night. If there's ever a person who lost everything and life should have overwhelmed him, it's Job. You know what Job's response is? Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I'll return, but I'll never stop praising the name of the Lord. God doesn't want you to be discouraged. In fact, he gives you everything he can to try to encourage you, to strengthen you, to help you continue on. God gives us the Bible as a source of encouragement. Not only does God not want you to be discouraged, God doesn't want you to be afraid. John chapter 14, later on, after he said those words about letting your heart be troubled, He tells his disciples this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." Over in Hebrews chapter 13, the author writes this, "So I can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" How many of you are naturally scared people? Like, your tendency is to be scared? Anybody? You're not going to admit it? Okay. You're scared to admit it? Fear is a natural tendency. And usually these tendencies come from one of two things. Fear comes from the known, right? Anybody not a fan of storms? Like tornado storms, those type of things? Yeah. It's terrifying if you know. If you ever watch The Wizard of Oz, you're going to wake up in someplace else. And like, it's a terrifying thing. And so fear comes from the known, what we know can happen. Or fear comes from the unknown. The unknown of I have no idea what to expect. I've never been down this road before. I've never walked this way before. I've never experienced this before, and I don't know what to expect. And so fear comes from those two places. And what Scripture tells us is this, is that while fear may be the natural tendency, and while those two things may be the cause of that fear, as a follower of Christ, we have a confidence that whatever the source of our fear, it's not greater than the supplier of our peace and comfort. God himself says, "Listen, I am with you." In the known things, that Hebrews passage said, what can man do to me? I always like to keep that on my desk whenever I went in to have a meeting with my boss or my senior pastor in the past. He'd always say, "John, we need to talk." These are never good. And I'd walk in and I'd have that verse because it was like, hey, listen, what's the worst he's going to do, fire me? He never did, thank goodness. But what... if that's, look, and I've been let go. I got that job call that said, "Hey, listen, you're not working out. You're not the guy we want for this job, and you have to leave. Pack up your stuff now." And that's terrifying and it's awful, but it wasn't at a church. It was an odd job I was doing. But it's like, man, that's terrifying. But if that's the worst, if that's the absolute worst thing that happens, okay. God's got something else in store. And so this idea is, what can man do to me? Those things that are known, that are right there, and we can see them. If that's the worst that can happen, God's still in control and got this. If it's the unknown, then understand that, like, countless times, over and over and over again through Scripture, Jesus tells his disciples, "Hey, listen, don't fear." I know you don't understand. We looked on Wednesday night, again, best night of the week. Thank you, Michael. Wednesday night, about how Jesus sent his disciples away they did not know. They'd never gone before. And in the midst of that, they encounter something that they've never encountered before. And Jesus' first words to them are, "Don't be afraid. I know you've never done this. I know you've never been this way before. But don't be afraid. It's going to be all right." God doesn't want us to be discouraged. God also doesn't want us to be afraid. Here's the reason why. God loves you. I know that may be the most simple thing you've ever heard somebody say. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life," or eternal life. A verse that we have known for ages. Just real quick though. Who loves us? God. See, God sacrifices his Son for you. Look. I tell you every week, I love you and I love all of you dearly. You're not getting my kids. If it's between you and you all are fantastic, fine folks, and I love you dearly, nope, sorry, not going to win. That's how much God loves you. He sacrifices his own Son for you. But it doesn't stop there, because Jesus sacrifices himself for you. And it says in Romans chapter 5, verses 5 through 8, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." You see that at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Look, I don't know what overwhelming fact or fear or thing is going on in your life. I don't know what weight of the world has overwhelmed you to the point that you don't have a clue what to do. But can I tell you this? God loves you. Man, if I know somebody loves me, I can do a lot. We watch Survivor. I don't know if anybody else watches that, but it's always interesting on Survivor when they get their letters from home. And the one guy said the other day when he got his letter from home, man, listen, when I get a letter from my loved ones, there's nothing I can't do. That knowledge, that encouragement that there is somebody in this world. Look, you may be sitting next to people that you say, I don't know if they really like me. I'm sure they don't love me. You may go to work with people and you say, man, I don't think anybody at my workplace likes me. And I don't think anybody loves me. You may be the most desolate, isolated person in the entire world who feels like no one loves you. Can I tell you that there is one person who loves you more than you could ever conceive of? God loves you so much that he sent his son to die in your place. So if you don't hear anything else I have to say today, when that becomes overwhelming weight of the world and you feel like you are alone and you have no one there with you, can I tell you, God loves you. God loves you. He goes on. He also wants us to know, not only does he love us, but he wants us to know this. God wants you and I to live a courageous life. Courageous may be a strange word, but there's not really another word I can think of. See, God wants you and I to know that he has a plan and a direction for your life. That plan and that direction is constantly moving. It says that God wants us to live a courageous life. In John chapter 16, it says this, I have told you these things so that you might have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14 says this, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. God's plan, God's direction for your life is this. It's one of constantly moving, constantly going, constantly doing, constantly winning. In both those passages, you notice there's not a concept or thought of loss. If you are winning, or if you are living your life on purpose for God, you cannot lose. It's the best odds I've ever heard in my entire life. You mean whatever I do, I can win? Yeah, absolutely. You mean that everything I do is going to be successful? If you're doing everything in your life for the cause of Christ, then yes, I can tell you that it'll be successful. Now, success may not look like what we think it does here, and you may not see the rewards of it, and you may not see the benefits of it, and you may not have the fat bank accounts and the nice cars and the fancy shoes and all those different things, but can I tell you that if you are living your life for cause and purpose and mission of Jesus Christ, you will be successful in everything you do. And one day when you get to heaven, you're going to sit back and you're going to see everything and how it all panned out. That's a courageous life. Because here's what happens for all of us, and it doesn't matter who you are. You start to live that. You start to take that moment where you live every single part of your life for Christ, and you start to put him involved in every decision you make and everything you do. And all of a sudden, what happens is this. We start to get afraid. We start to say, well, look, I don't have to tell the checkout clerk at Walmart about Jesus. I'm sure they know him. We're in Louisiana. I don't have to go invite my neighbor to church. They can see our church from our house. They don't have to have a personal invitation. And all of a sudden you start to make excuses and find reasons as to not to do the things that would move you in a direction towards Christ. We talk again, a phrase that gets thrown around in our church constantly is steps of faith. And you find reasons not to take that next step of faith. What will they think if I do? What will happen if I do? What's that going to look like? And all of a sudden you start to talk yourself out of taking that next step of faith in your walk with Christ. Listen, and we're going to get to this in just a moment. Our church here, God, I don't have time for all this mess. Can I tell you what I love about our church more than anything else? Y'all are nice, you're friendly, you smell good. You're just phenomenal folks. Can I tell you what I love about our church more than anything else? Every Sunday, every Wednesday, I get to stand here someplace. I get to look out and I get to see a step of faith that somebody's taken. Man, I've seen people get baptized that they were like, I'm terrified. I have no clue what this looks like. I've seen couples, can't do that. I've seen couples who never thought they'd end up together. And God said, nope, I'm going to restore this. I've watched God do way more in your lives than I could ever put into words up here. And the fact that you all are willing to continue to take steps is what encourages me and strengthens me to tell everyone in Caddo Parish, look, this is the best kept secret. Y'all are missing it. If you're looking for a place to come together with followers of Christ and grow in your relationship with Him, this is it. Because I look out and I see every single one of you and I see the steps of faith that God has taken you on in your life. And it makes me courageous to take the steps of faith in my life. God wants you and I to live courageous lives that continually move. That verse in Corinthians, he says to do everything in love. Constantly doing things with the motivation of love of God and love of people is what that looks like. Next thing God wants for you and I is this. God wants you and I to have a determined grit. Again, a strange way of saying things, and I'm not really sure that there's another way to say this. In Acts chapter 14, it starts out and it says this, they preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. They returned to Lystra and Iconia and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. If you go back and you look at how that verse started, it says that they were doing something. They were preaching the gospel. I cannot emphasize this enough, and I know y'all are a working, serving church. Do something. Do something. If you want to see your relationship with Christ, take the next step. Do something. And as you're doing that, watch. Because as you do that, other people are going to be encouraged by what you do. And they're going to in turn encourage you. And it's going to strengthen you. And it's going to encourage you to develop this determined grit. Look at that phrase they say. We must endure difficulties. It's this mind that is set that regardless of what happens, regardless of what I go through, it is worth it. Man, again, I don't know what you're going through. But if I didn't have a why, if I didn't have a purpose, if I didn't have a reason to go through some of the small things that I've gone through in my life, deuces, I'm out. Not worth it. This determined grit tells you and I that it is worth it. The resolve to continue to face difficulty over and over and over again. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, chapter 1, verses 4-5, it says this, therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. If you're going to suffer in life regardless, why not have purpose? Why not have meaning in your suffering? Life's difficult for everyone. Whether you're a follower, Scripture says the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. You're going to have hardship in the world. If I'm going to have hardship, I want it to at least have a purpose. If I'm going to suffer, if I'm going to have difficulty, I at least want it to amount, to mean, to count for something. Because in that, you have a hope that what you're going through, is going to long outlast you. The last thing God wants us to know is this. God wants you and I to know that we are not alone. That you are not alone. John chapter 14, again, he ends chapter 14 by saying this, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you, to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you, be in you. In verse 26, he finishes by saying this, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. In 1 Thessalonians, it says this, But I urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Two things. You're not alone. Look, again, you may feel no one knows, no one sees, no one understands you. This morning, God has given you the absolute greatest helper, comforter, source of strength that you could ever imagine if you have a relationship with Christ. I don't know if you've ever been around someone who's lost a loved one. And I knew that loved one didn't know Christ. The sorrow that fills that person is awful. I've been to funerals where I knew family members didn't know Jesus. Their loved one may have, but they didn't. And I have no clue how they make it through things like death, separation, loss of job, without the comfort and peace of the Holy Spirit. If there is an underrated tool that God gives you and I, it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our life to comfort us, to give us peace, to guide us. Listen, as a follower of Christ, that's yours. You may not realize it and you may not know it. But God, through his Holy Spirit, is always with you. He gives us a second thing too. This fellowship. So you are not just inner peace. You're surrounded in a sea of peace and comfort. That's why church matters. That's why fellowships matter. That's why being a part of something like this matters. Because here's what happens. Again, I told you we had somebody in the hospital every day this week. You know what happened? Every day this week, somebody from this church reached out to at least one of those individuals, if not all of them. You know why? Because we're in this together. Those surgeries, those hospital stays, those phone calls they got about the loved one they lost, they didn't have to endure it alone. They knew there was a group of people, a body of believers, the body of Christ behind them, praying for them, loving them, encouraging them, saying, hey, listen, do you need anything at all? You're not alone because the Holy Spirit's in you. And if you're a part of this fellowship, if you're a part of this body, you're not alone because you've got a whole support system rallying around you, praying for you constantly, desiring good for you constantly. Man, I told you guys Thursday was a rough night. And as I went through and I refined this for Sunday, all of a sudden the weight kind of was lifted a little bit. That heaviness I felt didn't seem so heavy because I realized, man, this is what God means when he says, don't let your heart be troubled, John. John, listen, there's a lot of stuff that's going to go wrong in life. Some stuff you can fix, some stuff you can't. But you can't get discouraged. You can't be afraid because I love you. And what I want for you to do is I want you to live a life of purpose and meaning and mission. A courageous life that takes chances, that goes and continues to move constantly in a direction that glorifies me. John, you can't back down. You need to have some resolve to your life. John, you're not alone. I told Kelsey this morning before this started, I said, this is going to be tough. Can I tell you what's made it not as tough? You. Smiling. Nodding. Some of y'all are getting the best nap you've ever had in your entire life. Look, if you're going through this world alone, I'm so sorry. But I want to encourage you this morning that you don't have to. It's going to become overwhelming at some point in time. And if nothing else, you need to know this. God loves you, and you have a church body that's waiting here to love you too. God, we love you. Father, thank you for these truths of Scripture. God, again, maybe this is elementary, maybe this is basic. But Lord, in a world that is overwhelming, sometimes we need to be reminded of simple truths of Scripture that encourage us, that strengthen us, that give us the resolve and the determination to live another day. God, for the follower of Christ, the best is always yet to come. So, Father, if there's one in this room who does not know you, God, they're going through life alone, they're going through life terrified, they're going through life discouraged. God, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. That through the work of your Holy Spirit, you would speak to their heart, to their soul, like only you can. And God, you would introduce them and help them to come to know that they need to have a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus. And in just a moment when we sing, God, that they would come down and they would say, hey, I don't understand it all, but I need that in my life. Father, for the one in here maybe today who is overwhelmed, whether it's circumstances, sickness, grief, loss. God, the list goes on and on of things that could overwhelm us. But God, today I pray that they would walk out of this place strengthened, encouraged, renewed in you today, Lord. Father, that you would instill in each and every one of us, our best day is yet to come. Lord, we love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening. And may God bless you.